This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So it's a weekend ahead of us to honor a Hall of Fame football coach, a Hoosier Hall of Fame football coach who has meant, well, so much to so many. As the Mau men return for a big 80th birthday bash for the winningest coach in IU gridiron history, Bill Mallory, who along with wife Ellie have become, well, full-fledged Bloomingtonians for years after coaching. Lots of love and affection from, well, a lot of people associated with the coach Bill, the players who played under him, staff, support members, Hoosier broadcaster talking to you tonight, and myself, who spent 13 years under Coach Mau. Memories and reflections, bowl wins, too, of note, and everything that the Mallory name and the family reflects as a longtime friends of not only Indiana University, IU football, IU athletics, but Bloomington and Monroe County. And IU Assistant Director of Alumni Relations, Mark Deal, joins us. He knows a little something about all of the gridiron history through the decades. And we'll talk with Mark because we have a lot of players coming back and a lot of activities planned for the weekend for Coach Bill. A little bit later, we'll catch up with the newest member of Coach Tom Crean's staff and former player, now Director of Player Development, a Hoosier through and through, Tipton native Derek Elston, who helped bring the Hoosiers back from ashes to a Big Ten title back in 2013, back-to-back Sweet 16 appearances as well. Hoops with Derek as the Hoosiers ready to open the 2015-16 season on Friday night against Eastern Illinois. That's our Tuesday night agenda here, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. It is Sports Talk, along with our producers, Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers, Joanna and Mike Glascott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, and what can you say about Bill Mallory, Mark Deal? 13 years. He not only is the winningest coach in Indiana football history, but his 39 Big Ten wins, five more than the late and great Bo McMillan, as Bill won seven buckets, that final one in 1996. And, well, it's just a big weekend. I had you in earlier this year talking about, well, the 45 unbeaten Hoosier football club that we had fun feeding earlier in October. And I know you've looked forward to this for months, and now it's upon us.
It's real fun, Joe, with Coach Mallory and the 80th birthday celebration. It kind of grew out of the first thing we did, we honored Lee Corso's 80th birthday back in June,
yeah,
and they both turned 80 at the same time, and really actually that was my first thing, because we did Lee and he has the college game day stuff and we did it in the summer. Well, when went with the idea of doing that with him in June, and he agreed to do it. And this was back in January, and he was going to do the 80th birthday. And I said, God, great that we did that. And it was the exact day that Coach Corso had agreed to do it, was in January. And I thought, Coach Mallory's turning 80 also.
Yeah.
So I called Ellie, because I called the real head coach of the family.
Yeah.
And I said, Ellie, I said, you know what we need to do? We need to have an 80th birthday party for Coach. She says, Mark, that would be a great idea. So so I figured, well, we got to do one for Coach Corso. We got to do one for Coach Mallory, and I love them both dearly. And so I told Ellie, and she said, Mark, I think that's a great idea. I think Coach will really go for it. So so I said, well, let me get back to you next week, and we'll go. So I called Coach Mallory, and he's down in Florida. And I said, Coach, I said, I told him, hey, Mark's here. And he says, hey, Mark, how you doing? I says, hey, did you talk to Ellie? He said, about what? And I thought, uh-oh. I said, Ellie didn't prep you on this. And he said, well, I suppose it'll be all right. So he's looking forward to it. And we met yesterday, and he and Bob Hamill and I met yesterday morning on it. And it's going to be a great weekend, and so many guys coming right now, and it just keeps growing. We're at 150 players, coaches, managers, support staff coming, over 300 for dinner, and I have probably 10 to 15 that I haven't added yet that just came in today. So I'm expecting it's going to go way up there and you know, as the day goes on.
Well, here's a man and a football coach that, he coached at Miami of Ohio, Colorado, Northern Illinois. That's where he came to us from in 1984, his first season. And, you know, you look at it, he's only one of seven coaches ever to guide three different programs to top 20 finishes in the national polls. 87, he was the first Big Ten coach to be awarded back-to-back Mark Coach of the Year honors, and that's when the program was really flourishing. But, you know, we kind of start, and you're good at this, of turning the history pages back, and I well remember the 84 campaign. Tom Van Dyke and Joe Fitzgerald were the team captains here. We sat with zero wins, 0-11, but the football team got better as the season went on, couldn't get a break, and that's how the Mal era started. But, boy, did it jettison from there starting in 86.
He loves that 1984 team.
He sure does.
That 84 team lost eight games, I think, either seven or eight games by a touchdown or less. And they never quit and busted it. He loves it. And the neat thing is we got guys back from that 84 team, Jeff Lemoran, Tom Hendrickson, Chris Sigler, guys that are coming back for that. And it's neat. We have guys that are coming back that were at Lee Corso's 80th birthday party because they were part of the, unfortunately, Joe Ford. Guys, they were part of the three-coach era where they played for, recruited by Corso, played for Sam Weish, and then played with Coach Mallory. And it's just a tribute to Coach Mallory that they're coming back as well. And they just fought through. And he loves that team. And those guys are real special to him. And it's going to be neat to have them here.
So they go from 0-11. And as we chart the Mallory progress, in 85, they got better, four wins. And then in 86, and by the way, Steve Bradley and Rob Schmidt were the captains in 85. Dave Lilja, along with Bob Riley and Vince Fisher, they were the, and Leonard Bell, they were the four captains under Coach Bill. And we all remember that one, Mark, because that was Indiana's first bowl since the Holiday Bowl in 79. And here is Indiana sitting 6-6 and invited to an All-American Bowl. And really, really, that win at Michigan State upsetting the Spartans right before the Illinois and Purdue games got things rolling, because the last two went against the Hoosiers in very close games, Illinois and Purdue that year in 86. But that was the game, the signature game that really got the program rolling.
No question. Buck Sewer and I've talked about this a million times, and the probably the single biggest turnover or interception, whatever you want to call it, of the Mallory era was Alex Green's interception on the goal line there at Michigan State when we're up 17-14. And, we had a punt blocked, and at first down they didn't get anything. Second down, Van Wader sacks a quarterback, so it's third and goal. There's under 30 seconds to go, and Alex Green intercepts the ball on the goal line, and we win. You know, we win that game and go on to the All-American Bowl. And it's just a huge thing. Bob Riley, who lived here for a long time before moving to Florida, Bob's going to be back in town, and it's just going to be really neat. And that group, those young guys on that group, you know, the Joe Huffs and the, you know, the Don Schraders, Anthony Thompson, Dave Schnell, Van Waiters, you know, got their, you know, feet wet, so to speak, for the next 2 years that were, you know, back-to-back eight-win seasons that were just super, super teams.
And that propelled Indiana the very next year in 87, of course. Here they are, and that year the Hoosiers 8-4, second-place finish in the conference, and a Peach Bowl appearance. But Coach Bill led the Hoosiers to six bowls in 9 years, including victories on a cold December night late down in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl, and the 1991 Copper Bowl, which was one of my favorites because he went up against his good friend Grant Taft and shut out a decent Baylor Bear football club 24-0. And he also led the Hoosiers to a top 20 ranking in 88 and finished his career, as I mentioned, right at the top as IU's all-time winningest coach with 69 wins. And, you know, you had Tom Polson, Van Waiters, captains of that 87 team. You mentioned Joe Huff and the Don Schrader, Donnie, and and Ian Beckles in 89, and the great Anthony Thompson, Mike Dumas, and Cal Miller. And I'm just talking about captains, but impact players. Mark Hagan, who was that middle linebacker on that 91 Copper Bowl team, and Randy Schneider, Trent Green. I mean, Larry McDaniel, John Miller, who never, I don't think, lost a yard in his career. Bill would always say, you know, he'd come out the front. And I never saw him lost a yard, and so I'm talking about Cal Miller now.
Right, Cal Miller, right.
But anyway, just so many players, and it's just great to see them all come back.
Paul Williams is going to be back from that. You know,
heck
that
of a linebacker for his size.
From that Copper Bowl team. And just, you know, and then you go on to the later years. And
yeah.
We got Hervin McCormick coming back, and Bernard Whittington coming back, and Al Thurman.
Charles Beauchamp was another great player.
Great defense in 1993 that, you know, Troy Drake, just a terrific defense in 1993 that, you know, 8-3 team. And I think that team was ranked 22nd in the country and had three real close losses to, you know, great teams, Penn State and Ohio State, and we really had a heck of a season that year of the Independence Bowl, and they're just a great team.
Well, we're just getting started. There will be mentioning teams, an informal team meeting to kick off activities on Friday night. Yeah, I bet that. Well, I know it'll be informal, all right, knowing Mal, but I know who's going to be running that team meeting, and it won't be Mark Dillon and Joe Smith. But we'll talk more with Mark, who's joined us tonight to talk a little about the Mal Mann reunion, Assistant Athletic Director for Alumni Relations. A little bit later, IU's new Director of Player Personnel, former player Derek Elston, will join us in conversation. And don't forget, and we started this back on the 7th of the month, Yogi's will open at 10 on weekends for breakfast. We're live from the corner of 10th and Indiana, our home away from home on a Tuesday night. It's Sports Talk. We'll be back after these timeouts. You're listening to Sports Talk live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk tonight live from Yogi's Grill and Bar. And spending some time with Mark Deal, who is the Assistant AD for Alumni Relations and information relevant to this big weekend's Mal Mann return, reunion, and festivities, and hopefully a Hoosier upset of 15th-ranked Michigan. And, of course, we both know that Mal took great pride, and you asked me while we were away in break one of my favorite moments, and that was Bo Schembechler crybabying about our 52,000 in attendance. And, you know, we talk a little about that, and that was one of my great memories. But, of course, Doug and Mike both played and graduated from
and Kurt
from Michigan.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of ironic that the opponent happens to be Michigan, and Bill will be in attendance, obviously, with Ellie and the whole bunch.
As will Barbara coming out from California, Colorado, and Doug is coming back. The Atlanta Falcons, where Doug's a linebacker coach, are on a bye. So Doug is coming back not only to be with his dad, but, you know, Doug was our secondary coach in 94 through 96.
Yep.
So, you know, he coached Eric Allen and Joey Ellums and Kywin Supernaw and Eric Smedley and those guys that are Aaron Warnicki that are going to be back. So, you know, he's looking forward to seeing them. One of the great pictures, and I never saw it, and I'd never seen it anywhere, and I don't know where Doug got it, but, you know, obviously Doug and I have been friends forever, and we worked together on, you know, a couple staffs with Coach Mallory and with Kevin. And in Doug's basement, there is a picture of Coach Mallory being carried off the field on that rainy day, and there's these sea of red helmets with the black eye on it, and Coach Mallory's being carried off the field, and there's one lonely soul winged helmet there that reaching his hand out to shake his hand, and it's Doug. And I've never seen that picture.
Wow.
And it's so, it almost makes you want to cry that here is greatest moment, and Doug is the senior, and he's the captain of the team at Michigan, and his dad just beat him. And here's Doug amidst all those Hoosiers reaching out to his dad who's being carried off where they're shaking to shake hands. It's so poignant. And I asked Doug and Lisa, I said, wow, where did you? And I don't know where he got that picture. I had never seen it, and it may be from Detroit or from a picture picture from up there in Michigan, because I'd never seen it down here. But he has it framed, and they have a big display on it. It's such a neat picture. of a memory that Doug carries. It just shows you the kind of class that Doug Mallory has, that, you know, that all the Mallory children have had, that, you know, was ingrained into them by Coach Mallory.
You know, it was interesting to know, too, and we talk about 87 and that great win over Michigan at home, 14-10, and that was preceded, of course, by the darkest day in Ohio State football history, one of my great moments, because of how it was done. It was, as Mal would say, a good old rump thumping. And 31-10, and they did not chime the bells. They didn't ring the toll the bells, and they turned the scoreboard off. But the players got down there for a photograph underneath the scoreboard at the what was then the horseshoe.
The old horseshoe, yes.
The old horseshoe. But and then it was interesting, and I know our bowl rings that year were predicated around not only beating Ohio State and Michigan, but that was also Bill's first bucket win, and that was a rump thumping when we beat the Purdue's that year, 35-14, and that was there were so many.
The only team in IU history, you know, people say it's the only team in IU history to beat Ohio State and Michigan. Not only that, it's the only team in IU history to beat Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue in the same year. Which is quite an accomplishment, which is something that even the 45 team and the 67 team didn't do, because they didn't play Ohio State in either of those years, the two Big Ten championship teams. So it's a great accomplishment by that 87 team.
Well, there's going to be that informal team meeting on Friday, but then we take it to the Rock Memorial Stadium along about Saturday at 1:30. Take us through what we'll be seeing, because, well, that's going to be a long day, hopefully, with the upset win over Michigan. As I mentioned, that game's at 3:30, but then plenty of Mallory era festivities post game as well.
Yeah, we've got a tailgate with the I Association, and we're partnered. Obviously, I'm vice president of the I Association, and Brian Brazzi, our executive secretary, has been great with this. And we're gonna have our I Association tailgate at 1:30, 2 hours before kickoff, and then we got the game, and then right at the beginning, people that are listening, try and not run out to the bathroom or to the concession stand, because right at the beginning of the halftime, before the band even comes on, there's going to be the Mallory players and Mallory era people are going to be down on the field, and there's going to be a video tribute on the scoreboard, and then going to be introduced then on the field there right before the start of halftime on the field. And then after the game, up in the Hanke Hall of Champions, we're going to have a reception, a dinner, and a little program there with Coach Mallory and everybody there. Like I said, it's up to 300 now, so we're probably going to be in downstairs and up in the balcony, but by the time the thing's all done. So, but it's a great tribute to a great man and a great family. No question about it.
No question about it. And, you know, he now is getting ready to winter and has been wintering down in Florida. And we not only mentioned, and I did right at the top today, Mark, of after his unfortunate firing in 96, he and Ellie stayed in Bloomington, and they have meant so much to so many. Philanthropically speaking, the Man Up, which is the biggest fundraiser of the boys and Bloomington Boys and Girls Club, is coming up December 10th. They're flying back up to be, he's being honored that night. That's December the 10th, and Jeff Baldwin will be joining Glass on the Air here over the course of these next couple of weeks to talk a little about this event. But that just shows you the impact that the man has had after his coaching career ended back in 96.
Yeah, no question. And he's chosen to be a part of this Bloomington community. And we're so fortunate to have Coach Mallory around and being part of this community. And what such a class individual. You talk about that 96, you talk about the scoreboard. And I'll never forget that ever, Kit Klingelhoffer telling me, because, you know, we whooped him pretty good there. Talk about an old
rump thumping.
It was 33-16, and I told Alex Smith, Alex Smith owned Ross-Ade Stadium. But the game ended, and of course that was that great scene of carrying Coach Mallory off the field, and we got the bucket and took it over across to our fans and around there in that end zone. I guess it's the north south end zone there, and took it to the fans and celebrating. And before I even walked off the field, I looked up, and Michigan, Purdue under Jim Coletto 2 weeks before had upset Michigan. And before we even got to the locker room, the Purdue people changed the scoreboard to say Michigan, Purdue 9, Michigan 6, to put that score up. And I thought, gee, they Christmas.
Yeah.
I said that's pretty low rent. But anyway, we were able to celebrate that, and he was able to put that seventh eye on the bucket, and that was one sweet fight song for sure that we sang after that ball game.
No question about it. Well, just we got a couple minutes here before we bring on Derek Elston tonight, but. Mark, just a thought, things, have been tough, very competitive. We know what we have to do in finishing out football games. But, I'd like to thank Seniors Day, Nate Sudfeld at the controls. He's all about team. And Michigan and then two road games, mentioning Maryland and mentioning Purdue back-to-back. You're just some thoughts and comments.
Yeah. I'm not down. Our team's not down. Our spirits are good. The players have continued to work hard. That you can see it in their effort in the game. I expect we'll have a great effort on Saturday. We played very well. We've played some really good teams. I think we've been beaten by the number one team in the nation. When we played Michigan State, they were about six or something like that, maybe six or seven. Iowa was 9 last week. A Penn State team that has not lost in state college all year. Darn good football team. I think they're 7-3, something like that. So we have, the losses that we've sustained, with the exception of the Rutgers game, obviously, when that was just kind of a confluence of bad breaks and unfortunate things, and those things happen sometimes. But our guys have hung in there and played really pretty well, for in spots. And, like Kevin says, we just got to continue it,
yeah.
Carry it the whole way. There's a lot of football to be played.
Oh.
And our team knows what's out there in front of them. And they're going to give a great effort against Michigan this week. And I expect we'll give great effort against Maryland and Purdue in the last 2 weeks. And then we'll see where we're at afterwards.
Well,
I feel really good about it.
As I was mentioning, ironic that it is Michigan, and we remember 1987 when a lot of people didn't think we'd beat Michigan in Bloomington, and now here's Michigan, and a lot of people are thinking the same under a different head coach and about two decades later. So maybe the Mal influence, the man and the myth and the legend of Hoosier football lore will rub off on that gridiron come 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. Hey, it's great as always, my friend,
Thank you. Thank
you,
Joe, and go Hoosiers. And let's give a great round of applause on Saturday to a great man and a great era of Indiana football, Bill Mallory.
No question about it. And when we come back, talk about an unheralded leader in his time when he played hoops out of Tipton, Indiana at Indiana U, and his leadership skills just flat off of the charts. And now, well, the favorite son comes back home, and now he serves as the newest member on Tom Crean's staff, and we're talking about Tipton native and one of my favorite basketball players from a few years ago, Derek Elston, the new director of player development, joins us as we embark upon a brand new season that starts on Friday night against Eastern Illinois. We'll talk some hoops with Derek. Have more. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. About 25 before the top of the hour. Don't forget, high school football, a big one for those South Panthers. The regional championship down at Castle Stadium in Newburgh. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk. I'll handle that. Be with the basketball team on the airwaves with my men, Fish and Eric Sewer, on Friday night as Coach Tom Crean gets rolling season number 8 against Eastern Illinois, and a young man that has come full circle and one of my favorite players when he played here and laid it on the line and played through injuries and brought us back from a low to a high. And we're talking about Derek Elston, who is the director of player development. And Derek, first of all, I can't even imagine how excited you were when you had the opportunity. Tom contacted you, and you had a chance to come back and serve in this capacity.
Oh, absolutely. Joe, first off, I want to say thank you for having me on here. You know, I was actually in Bloomington with my girlfriend, actually, and he had seen a picture. The way it happened was so weird. He saw a picture of us that we had on a date night on one of those little, you know, Instagram.
Okay.
And he said, "What are you doing in town?" And I said, "Oh, you know, things basketball-wise overseas hadn't gone, you know, the way I had wanted them to go for this season." And, you know, he asked me to come down, and I worked out with the guys, and Cody and I came down and just kind of, you know, wanted to meet with the guys and talk to the team. And then, you know, as things progressed, Coach Crean kind of mentioned that there was a spot available for me if I wanted it. And from there, I just thought, you know, what a great opportunity to just put my foot in the door and try to get on this coaching career path that I've always kind of seen myself doing after basketball was over with. So Coach Crean asked me, and I just ran with it.
Well, I know that Kelvin Sampson recruited you out of Tipton, and you came here, and then things obviously didn't work out the way we wanted to. We ran into some problems. Tom bailed us out, really.
Came to us
from Marquette 8 years ago. And talk a little about the transition and how things started to mesh, because, it wasn't pretty that first year. But, boy, talk about a team whose work ethic, development, talent paid off and progressively got better, and you were a big part of it.
Well, actually, we went down to Indy for our little practice at the Pacers Arena Sunday, and Vic met up with us and talked with the team, and you know, his words, he said it best. You know, we didn't have all the talent in the world, and we didn't have the 1 through 10 guys on ESPN Rivals or anything like that. We just had a bunch of guys that came in with the same attitude. We wanted to change the program, and we were going to work every day to do so. You know, and like Vic said, Vic was ranked 144th out of the ESPN top 100.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he said it best. The rankings, they don't matter. It's all about heart, and it's all about mindset. And when we did that, when I heard that, I just said, you know what, that's perfect, Vic. That's the best way to explain to these guys that's what it takes.
You know, we're talking with Derek Elston, the new director of player development for Tom Crean. And, you know, as the season rolled on and the wind started to mount and the success, along with the confidence, the players got better. But it was a bunch, Derek, and again, you were one of those foundation pieces. You talk about Watt and Jordy and Vic and on and on, but so rewarding to see the success come as a result of hard work.
Oh, absolutely. From day one, coming in here and saying we were going to change the program and hang a banner, I'm not going to lie, I think all the guys that you mentioned, Vic even, Will even, we didn't think it was going to happen. You know, we had our days where we just thought that this was just too hard. You know, we were putting in a lot of time and a lot of energy and just not seeing results. But, you know, that's kind of how it works. You know, when you put in the hard time and you work as hard as we did, and then we got the, you know, we can't say Cody wasn't a huge piece, because when we got him, we were thrilled to death. But even with that, you know, when we got Cody, I think guys even worked harder just because we knew that was pretty much the last piece that we really needed to get a team that could really compete, and the work ethic from everybody just went through the roof.
You know, and Fish and I have had a lot of memories, and Don has called obviously a lot of national championships. I've been along a side of him, but that afternoon at the Chrysler Center, the afternoon we played Michigan to win that Big Ten championship, Derek. I get cold chills just even talking about it. And Fishes, when that free throw went off the rim or stayed up on the rim like an eternity there, I thought, fall off.
My goodness.
I mean, his knuckles were ingrained. What a feat. I mean, and there it was, a Big Ten championship returned to Indiana U.
And it just, we all went back to the locker room, and I think, I can't talk for everybody, but I know those core guys that came in the beginning, we were all just in tears. I mean, we were just so excited to finally be a part of that. And I think the thing that really got us the most was Coach Crean had mentioned a few days before that, you know, we had lost our senior night to Ohio State, and he just kept mentioning the fact that we worked so hard over the last 4 years, 3 years. why would we want to share the Big Ten? You know, because if we had lost that game, we shared with – it was a three-way share, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So just the determination, the grit we had that game to finish off the way we did was just – I just brought us to tears.
Well, and it had been a while, obviously, Indiana playing in the NCAA tournament. And not only that, but back-to-back years. The first trip to the Sweet 16 certainly was something that I think, although we were flying under the radar, so to speak,
right.
We were playing our best basketball of the year, and,
oh, absolutely.
And here we are. But that season, being in that, just was more gratification and justification of where the program was then and where it was and where it is right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fact that we got to play Kentucky again, a lot of guys said to us, you know, that pretty much was the championship game. You know, had we played anybody else in the tournament at that time to score 96 points or whatever we did, and Kentucky scored 90 to 100,
right.
I mean, it was just an unbelievable game. And if we were going to go out, you know, we just went out punching every chance we got. We didn't back down. We wanted that opportunity. And, you know, we fell short, but, I mean, we were, like you said, we just played our best basketball we could.
Derek Elston joining us, the new Director of Player Development for Coach Tom Crean. The Hoosiers opening up after a couple of exhibition wins. And, a couple of blueprints are now in front of the coaching staff to take a further look, and
right.
We'll talk a little about that. But I want to talk a little about your new responsibilities and kind of outlining things, life skills, programming, administrative operations, mentoring players.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's right up your alley.
Absolutely.
Because you've got the personality you always have had. And, I mean, you're not – I'm some old codger, but you're still – I mean, you walk in here, they still take you as a Hoosier basketball eligible player, let alone the new director of player development. But talk a little about some of the roles and what you have been doing since, you got your office.
Well, I think you pretty much described the title perfectly. I know what it's like to come in and – you know, for a guy like me, I live up north in Tipton, Indiana, 2 hours away, no big deal, right? But when you're in basketball season, then you get to the Big Ten, there's not a lot of chances to go home, and I live 2 hours away. So
right.
Guys who are coming in from Missouri, Texas, things like that, I know what it's like not to have a home-cooked meal, not to be around just a family environment. So, you know, I'm kind of the guy to just grab these guys, and we'll go out, let's go get lunch, you know, let's talk, let's, you know, what are you dealing with? What are the problems that you're dealing with right now? Because, you know, I played for Coach Crean for 4 years. I know what it's like to have five plays put in one day and the next day 10. So I know there's a lot of stuff going through your mind right now, and I'm kind of the guy to just take you up. Let's go to the office. Let's break everything down. Let's simplify things. And the thing that I think that I'm best at with this position is, you know, I just played professional basketball. I'm 25 years old. I can still relate to these guys.
Sure.
I'm not a 35-year-old guy who used to play for Coach Crean. You know, I just left the system. So these guys can definitely relate to me, and that's probably the best part about it.
You know, you did play, and we'll get to your pro career here in a second, but I want to talk about your academic career because, you know, you shared something with other players, and that was the ability, and this has been the rule rather than the exception has been for Tom Crean players to graduate early.
Oh, yeah.
To put in the time. Talk about that experience. I mean, you walked away. Not only did you get your undergraduate degree as a junior, you went ahead and got your master's in a field that you're in right now.
Right, and I had no idea I was doing it. I just, when I first got here, everybody just took summer classes. So for me, next year, my sophomore year coming around, I'm just taking summer classes because that's all I know. The next thing I know, I'm graduating with Verdell and Tom and Matt and Daniel and those guys, and I had no idea what I was doing. I just wanted to stay around campus. I wanted to work out. I wanted to better myself, and the only way I could do it was to take classes. And then, you know, like I said, when Vic was talking to the guys, again, he said it perfectly. If you knew that you were doing well in class, it was going to transfer onto the court.
No question.
To not have to worry about class is the greatest thing because you're going to be in practice some days for 4 hours, and you're going to stay longer to shoot, and you're probably going to stay even longer to get film in and watch film. So there's not a lot of time for academic hall or anything like that, even though you have to be over there. So to not have any worries, to go into classes, to go into tests, knowing that you're prepared and you're ready and you know you're going to get an A to a B on this test, you know, that just lets you go and just play basketball. You don't have to worry about your grades anymore. And you know, like you said, Coach Crean says it best, you know, if you're not getting your good grades, you're not going to play. And that's how the group that I was with, that's how we looked at it every day.
Oh, it was cut and dried. It still is. I mean, that's part of his makeup. And, so that's the way it is. That's the Korean way, and that's the great way. And that's why you're here, not only to win basketball games, but to win in the classroom. And you're a perfect example of that. Well, loaded with your degrees, you at least. And, you know, I think of you when you came in as an all-star basketball player in high school, and then you doggone injuries kept bugging you, and I can remember you used to play games, you had that shoulder wrapped and everything like that, but it didn't deter you any. You got tougher, and you did some really good things for us at both ends of the court, but you gave an opportunity to pro basketball on the European beat. Talk Absolutely. About that experience, Derek.
I didn't know what I was doing with my first career, my first team. I just kind of...
That in Portugal?
That was actually in Malta.
Malta.
I started off in Malta, and I hadn't, you know, agents were talking to me, but I really didn't know what I was doing with that. And it got to the point where it got so late, and I didn't know what to do, that I just kind of went ahead and did it on my own. And I went over there, and... quite frankly, it was because I wanted to see the team that offered me. They said, you know, you're going to be able to come here. We know you just had knee surgery. And I said, well, I don't know how I am. I don't know if I'm 100%.
Right.
I don't think I am. And they said, well, just give it a try. You know, just come over here, play with us, rehab your knee, and we'll see how you do. And I had a couple step backs when I got over there. But I think I finished my career over there great. I finished it healthy. And then, you know, like I said, I came back. I went to Portugal, played a half a season, went over to England, and finished out that season over there. Honestly, it's just the nagging. You know, the knee surgery is the thing that's really holding me back. It's, you know, I still get a lot of knee problems. Even just doing, you know, walking up the stairs some days is really hard for me. So I took the opportunity, and I ran with it, and I loved every second of it. But I'm still in the process right now. That's the great thing about this this job that I have here, is every day I get things done, and then when I have some time to myself, I have a little downtime, I just go downstairs and I rehab my knee. And, you know, that's just everyday life is what I have to look at now.
Well, I mean, you know, the addition of Cook Hall and now the amenities of our brand-new refurbished, I mean, you couldn't have wanted a better scenario, Derek. Not only are you watching that banner, wave in the assembly hall, but now everything that's going about it.
Right.
Talk to me a little about this basketball team that's getting ready to play for real now on Friday night against Eastern Illinois. A couple of exhibitions. I know from a coaching standpoint, Tom and crew, they got out of it what they thought they would.
Right.
A very outstanding Ottawa team, and then a little bigger, more physical team last night in Bellarmine.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of size things up as you look at this 2015-16 season?
Well, I know Coach Crean brought those guys in because they brought those teams in because, you know, they compete and they're strong. You know, a lot of people may not know, but Ottawa beat us last year in Canada. And Bellarmine, they are the national champions in D2. So we're definitely playing against good competition. You know, I think it's just one of those things where we want to see how well practice is paying off for us against high-level teams, teams that have motors, guys who can shoot the ball. Is our defense really working out for us? We know we're going to score. We've got a great backcourt, you know, Yogi and Troy and James. Those guys are going to do their things, but it's collective. You know, we have a lot of freshmen that are going to play this year, and if they get out there and they don't know their roles or they don't know what they're supposed to do, that's where Yogi and those guys come in.
And you went through it because there were shared responsibilities both on and off the court. I mean, especially with the experienced players, you know, do they have an understanding of what's expected of them? Last night was a perfect example where we saw our big horses. We saw Troy Williams. We saw Yogi score 41 points and haul in 16 rebounds between them. But there has to be an understanding of not only do they lead us on the hardwood, but off as well, and that's all part of it. But the maturity. It doesn't come at a snap of a finger.
Not at all.
You know, what works for you might not work for Thomas Bryant, maybe until his junior year. Who knows?
Exactly. And, you know, that's the thing that we're working on right now. You know, we got to realize that, you know, these guys who are the stars of the team, if you can call them that, they're not going to have their great days every day. So those guys have to come in, and, you know, Coach Crean has always harped on, you're a freshman, but you can't be a freshman. You have to come in, you have to know the plays, you have to know your roles, and you have to come in, and you have to contribute. Because, like I said, Yogi and Troy, they're not going to have good days every day. So next man up. That's what we preach all the time, next man up.
Well, November is right here, and obviously it has presented the challenge that we can look at blueprint-wise and get to work on a rather ambitious early season, which includes another trip to Maui, and that's always one of college basketball premier events, even though it's Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, I know. I know. I can't say that I'm not looking forward to it. you know, I know the winters here in Bloomington are pretty harsh, but it's going to be a great time out there, and you know, we're going to have the team to go out there and compete, so everybody's looking forward to it.
You know, there's two old staples. We talk about the education and how important it is for Coach Tom and the rest of the staff, but two, it's how we defend and how we rebound.
Yep.
I mean, aren't those the cornerstones? What did you learn?
Absolutely. You know, Coach Crean had preached it, and he's preaching it from my freshman year to when I come back to the first day on the court when I got the job. Your defense propels your offense. You know, a lot of guys think that, you know, they got to score a step back three, or they got to get a big, you know, highlight dunk to get going. But it's your defense, it's the deflections, it's talking on defense. That's what gets your offense going.
You know, too, a couple of intangibles we'll talk about in addition to talent and how we play defensively and how we pick and roll. How key to help develop the maturity level of these young players in with our experienced players? How key is awareness? How key is communication within the Crean system?
Oh, I mean, if you can't talk, you can't play. It's as simple as that. You know, the Hoosier fans are some crazy 17,500 fans. So if we're not talking in practice, you know, how are we going to play when we play against Purdue or Ohio State or Michigan State under a crowd like that? You know, we can't hear ourselves think, let alone whether you're calling a down or whether you're calling a play or a screen's coming. So if you can't talk and you can't talk at a high level and repeatedly, you just can't play for us.
Well, you're going to be a great spokesperson, which is no surprise at all, and I'm glad to have you on here tonight, because I know you're going to get involved in the community, not only with this basketball program, but spreading the word that you can talk. And by the way, you dressed to the nines, my friend. Hey, you're going to be on GQ.
You
looked outstanding last night, my man.
So?
I said, look at this dude, Like, hey, Derek, it's all going to start Friday night. Get off to a good start, but nothing but the best to you. I'm glad you're back taken advantage of those twin degrees that you have, doing something and a passion that you have for the game of basketball and a passion for the man that helped bring you and the rest of your teammates to a Big Ten championship. And let's go win another one and beyond, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Yo.
Derek Elston joining us, and we'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to Sports Talk on a Tuesday night. We're live from Yogi's. Well, again, our thanks to our guest tonight, Mark Deal, Assistant Athletic Director in charge of the IU alums and putting together the big Mau Man reception. You heard Mark talk about when it's all said and done, 300-plus former players, staff members, assistant coaches, and what have you, in to pay tribute to our Hall of Fame, our Hoosier Hall of Fame football coach, Bill Mallory, and to Derek Elston. Great talking with Derek. He'll do a bang-up job, and no question about that, and be close to this young basketball club that embarks upon the 2015-16 season against Eastern Illinois on Friday night, and then on we go through the schedule. A couple of programming notes. Don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And also on Friday night, the big high school game, the IHSA Regional Championship from Castle Stadium down in Newburgh. John Callahan and Dave Novak will have the call. I'll handle Coach Mo in the pregame at 7, the kickoff at 7:30. In addition to Coach Tom's Hoosiers playing Eastern Illinois, a special noon start for the preseason WNIT, and we'll be getting Terry Morin in here in due time. Was going to get her next week, but they're playing in that tournament on that night. They open up at noon on Friday against Tennessee State. And right here, Michigan and IU on Saturday. If you can't make it in, but we'd sure like to see you out at the Rock Memorial Stadium right here on the big screens. Yogis, by the way, the Colts are bye this week. Don't forget, and it will continue. Started with November 7th, but Yogis opening at 10 on weekends for breakfast. Our employee of the week out of Shortstop Barbecue Train, Aaron Vargas, doing a bang-up job. And for all of our sponsors, for Jim Ritter, producers Joanna, Mike Lascott, that's going to do it. We have Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass to wrap up our shows in November. BTS with Fred, 6 o'clock next Tuesday night. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Have a great week. Go Hoosiers. See you next week on Sports Talk.